first message of the Advent season is hope. Of course, there is hope, there is peace, and there is joy, and there is love. And so, but today we're going to be focusing on hope, and throughout the series, of course. I looked up the word hope, and I would like to share that with you, and for you to have an idea of what this is all about. I'm sure you know something about hope. And it's a feeling that what is wanted will happen. A feeling of what is wanted will happen. The object of this is a person or thing on which one may base some hope on. To want and expect to have hope. Hopeful is full of hope, having qualities that promises good or success. A person who goes through life in a hopeful manner. And I believe that all of that kind of defines us as Christians and children of God, because that's who we are. But for the unbeliever, it is the total opposite. Instead of hopeful, it is hopeless, because there isn't that propelling factor within the individual, which is Jesus Christ, to help them to keep on keeping on or hoping that something is going to happen. Without hope, giving no ground to expect good or success. And so as believers today, that's who we are. We want to be hopeful. Where there is life, there is hope. Of course, if there is no life, there would not be hope, because it's all gone. But where there is life, there is hope. And I want to encourage you today to keep that focus in mind. Before we go any further, I want us to look at a brief clip.
Average person can survive about 3 to 5 minutes without air. They can survive about 10 days without water. One can survive about 40 days without food. But no one can survive without hope.
So no one can survive without hope, and we need to continue to have that focus. Luke chapter 1, verse 5 through 25. In the time of Herod, the king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's command and regulation blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years, or well along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go in the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time came for the burning of incense, all the assembly worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing in the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or any other fermented drink. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well in years." The angel says, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have sent you to speak to you, to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Okay. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, for they kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time to receive was completed, the time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife became pregnant. For 5 months, remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. May your Holy Spirit be your guide and our teacher today, and we shall give you praise and thanks. In your name we pray. Amen. Have you ever been in a situation or a circumstance, a crisis in your life, where you thought that there was no hope? Or maybe you know of a situation or a crisis in someone else's life, and you did not necessarily say it aloud, but under your breath, but deep down in your heart, you said, "This does not look good. There is no hope in this situation." One of the most devastating things in life for a woman is to deal with is to know that she would not be able to have children. Tell her anything else. Tell her that she failed the test. Tell her that she was denied a promotion. Tell her that the doctor's report was not so good. Tell her or inflict pain on her. And with time, she can be able to deal with all of these things and conquer them. But to tell her that she would not be able to bear children was most devastating. As a matter of fact, some women have committed suicide because of the fact that they could not have children. But I want you to assure you this morning that where there is life, there is hope. That regardless of your situation, regardless of what you're going through right now, there is hope and there is light at the end of the tunnel. What I would like for us to focus on first is that Zechariah was an upright man. He was faithful and an upright priest. Both of them, the scripture says in chapter 1 and verse 6, were upright in the sight of God, observing all the commands and regulations blamelessly. The psalmist David says, "No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." He was upright before God. And folks, they did not just go through the motions of following God's law, but what you saw on the outside of Zechariah and his wife, they were all in the inside of them. In other words, they did not only talk the talk, but they walked the walk. They were faithful before God. And so, I believe what the scripture is saying to us today when we talk about where there is light, there is hope, is that we need to be upright in the sight of God. We need to know, we need to live in such a way that when people see us, that there is no doubt in their hearts of who we are, what we believe. lifestyle, but they would know because of that, the way we live. He represented the whole nation before God. He represented the entire nation of Israel. When Zechariah walked into the temple, all of Israel was watching at him as he walked in. What an awesome responsibility that he had at that time, as he cared about his duties. We too, as Christians, we have an awesome responsibility. We have a task, and we are challenged to represent Jesus Christ wherever we go. And folks, you may not realize it, but if we go to the supermarket, if we go in the playing field, if we go any place else of a social activity, we are representing Jesus Christ. And we always need to keep that in mind, that Jesus Christ is first and foremost in our lives wherever we go. And we need to do that. So Zechariah was a faithful and upright priest. He was upright before the sight of God. He burned incense. That was one of his duties. He burned incense. Incense was burned in the temple twice a day. And the people gathered around the temple around this time. And of course, not everyone could gather around the temple. People who were probably miles away, they were working in the field. But when they saw the smoke from the incense heading into the sky, wherever they were, they dropped their tools, they knelt down, and they prayed, because they knew that Zechariah was in the temple and he was burning incense. He was praying and he was talking to God. They believed that when the smoke drifted heavenward, that it symbolizes their prayers ascending to the throne of God. And they believe that wholeheartedly. What would drive us to our knees today? What would help us to see that God has something in store for us that only you can do? There are certain things that I can do. There are certain things that you can do that I cannot do. And so God wants us to be faithful. He wants us to carry about our duties in such a way. What can people see coming out of our lives? Can they see the sweet aroma of love and kindness and concern, all because of Jesus Christ within our hearts and within our lives? Zechariah was evident, these things were evident in his life. God honors Zechariah with a promise. In verse 13 it says, "The angel of the Lord said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John.'" God honored his request. An angel appeared before him while he was burning the incense. And first of all, keep in mind that angels are spirit beings who live in the presence of God and carry about his duties or the instructions of God. There were only two angels who were mentioned in Scripture, and that is Michael and Gabriel. But there were also many others as God's messenger. So as Zechariah was going through his priestly duties, all of a sudden the angel appeared before him, and he was startled. He was afraid. He was taken back. He was gripped with fear. How would you feel that if you stand in front of your sink at home doing dishes, and all of a sudden an angel appeared before you? How would you feel that you're loading the washing machine and all of a sudden the angel showed up? Or you opened the hood of your car or your SUV and there was an angel? You would be startled as well. You would be taken back. But at the time of all of this, when he was burning incense and praying for a son, hoping for a son, or hoping for a child, praying even for the coming of the Messiah, an angel appeared before him. And I believe that God wanted Zechariah to know without a shadow of doubt that it wasn't the food he had the night before, and he wasn't seeing anything strange, but that an angel was sent from God to do that for him. The angel brought him hope. You know, hope is always a good thing whenever we are going through difficult times in life and we know that there is hope. And the angel said, you are going to have a son. You are going to be a daddy. You are going to be a father. And folks, there is always hope when, as Christians, we hope that things are going to happen. The angel said, your wife Elizabeth is going to have a son. And so the prayer of Zechariah and his wife was answered. And I believe today that God wants to answer our prayer. I believe that God wants to show us that he still sits on the throne and he remembers his children. He remembers you. But sometimes we do not like no for an answer. Even at times, no is an answer. But God knows what he is doing. He definitely knows what he is doing. Or maybe there are times when we would want to help God out and says, God, you know, hurry up. You know, you're moving too slow in this area of my life or whatever. But God knows his timing, and we need to trust him. We need to trust him for that, and his timing is always perfect. God dealt with Zechariah's disbelief and disobedience. Zechariah asked the angel in verse 18 and 20, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man. My wife is well along in years. The angel answered, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you the good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at this proper time. He lost his speech. Now, many of us listening and looking at this whole story, and we are saying that, you know, that was kind of harsh of what God did. And that God could have used some other form of punishment. He could have drawn his attention in some other way. Why did he have to do this? And you know, folks, we don't understand everything that God does at times. But because he is God, and because he is in control, we trust him, we trust his judgment, we trust his insight, and we accept him that this is what God wants us to do. And so God did that. And so when told that he was going to have a son, he doubted. And, you know, from Zechariah's human perspective, it was a reasonable thing to question, to ask, how can this be? It was a natural human response. But God held him accountable for his disbelief. It is very easy to doubt or to misunderstand what God wants to do in our lives. Even God's people sometimes trust their own intellect and experience rather than God. And maybe, I'm not sure, maybe Zechariah was trusting in his own intellect and his experience. He was God's man. He was the priest. He was very knowledgeable. But does this mean that intellect and experience are wrong? No. Intellect is good. Experience is great. Oftentimes we say to someone that, hey, you remember, I'm older than you are and I have more experience than you do. I know about this. I've been down that road before. But here is the point, that regardless of how much we know, regardless of our experience, regardless of what nature says, that God always knows best. always has the last word, and God wants us to trust Him that even though we do not agree or we feel uncomfortable with His decision, His word, He has the last word for us. So when tempted that one of God's promises is impossible, remember His work throughout history. God's power is not confined by of how we think and how we act, but is greater, is beyond boundary, and we need to continue to trust in Him. The people noticed what was happening when he lost his speech, and they felt that he was taking too long to come out from the temple, and they were wondering what was going on. The same thing would be if someone went into a store or someone went into a house or whatever, and they're taking too long to come out. You would start to wonder, I wonder what's keeping him back. And so so Zechariah was taken a while before he comes back out, and the people were wondering why he stayed so long. And so he came out of the temple, and he could not speak. And so when he came out, they realized that he had seen a vision or something had happened. And instead he was making signs because he lost his speech, and that's what the angel said, that you are not going to speak until the day all of this come into being. You know, there will be consequences for disbelief and disobedience. And I'm not here to say what God is going to do and how He is going to draw our attention. You know, when we disobey or when we do not believe, God deals with each and every one of us on an individual basis. But here is my take on this whole thing. We don't have to worry about consequences if we obey and if we believe. It's very simple. If we obey and if we believe, we don't have to. There will be no consequences because we are doing what God is asking us to do. And so let's try to trust Him. God's promise became a reality. God's promise became a reality in verse 23 and verse 25. When His time of service was completed, He returned home. After this, His wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. Now, we ask, why did she remain in seclusion? Maybe because she wants to be absolutely sure that this was all good, and she stayed. And as you know, after a certain time in the woman's pregnancy, you can't hide that any longer. So then she starts coming out, okay? And so, the Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, He has shown His favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. Now, what the scripture is saying is that in those days and even today, in some communities, if someone was unable to have a child, people look at it as maybe a disgrace, as the scripture says. Maybe society or whatever. But John was born. Now, I want you to take note of this. In Isaiah 43-5, he wrote, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway of our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low, and even the uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." And folks, that was prophesied 700 years before John was born. 700 years before he was born. And only a true message from God could predict the truth so far in advance. But then you say, well, how can we be certain that this was written about John and not someone else? In Mark, the gospel opens up the book with this. It reads, as it is written in Isaiah that we just read. Mark started out, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare the way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And then also, in Matthew 11, and from verse 7, what did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in the king's houses. What did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he who, of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Truly, I say to you, among those born of woman, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. It is John the Baptist. It is John, as the scripture says, who will come. And of course, Elizabeth's disgrace was taken away. Can you imagine how Elizabeth felt when she knew that she couldn't have a child? Can you imagine how society treated her because she couldn't have a child? And God came through and took care of all of that because they were praying and they were hoping that something will happen. And not only that, but Zechariah was talking again. God kept his promise that you will not talk again until the day when all of this come true. He got back his voice. Now, we can learn something about Christian hope from a fisherman. In Pavlo's Trout, Paul Quinnett writes, it is better to fish hopefully than to catch a fish. Fishing is hope experience. To be optimistic is a slow bite as to thrive on hope alone. When asked, how can you fish all day without a hit? The true fisherman replies, hold it, I think I felt something. If the line goes slack, he says, he'll be back. When it comes to the human spirit, hope is all. Without hope, there is no yearning, there is no desire for a better tomorrow, and no belief in the next cast that will bring the big strike. According to the Bible, the Christian life is also hope experience. A hopeless Christian is a contradiction in terms. Just as a fisherman looks hopefully at the catch, and just as Zechariah and Elizabeth looked hopefully toward the granting of a child and the creation of a family, we too can continue to hope for the future. What kind of situation are you in today? Maybe with your family, maybe with friends, maybe at a job, or something is happening. Does it seem like maybe there is no hope? Does it seem like there is no light at the end of the tunnel? My challenge to you today is that to continue to hope, because as believers, we have the guarantee and the authority of God's word that there will be something, there is light at the end of the tunnel. Something is going to happen, because without hope, we can just give it up. But with hope, we trust in God that all these things will happen. As we close this morning, I would like for for us to just have a few moments as we meditate upon this and this story, Zechariah and Elizabeth, hoping for a child, hoping that something will change. I want you to know this morning that regardless of what your situation is, or regardless of how tough it is, and you wonder if you should even try any longer, with God, all things are possible. There is nothing impossible for God to do. And as Christians, we hope that things will get better because we serve a great God. And so whatever that situation is, I want you this moment to commit that to God and to believe that there will be a change. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word this morning. Thank you for your people. Thank you for the needs that are being represented here. And we pray in the name of Jesus that favor will be granted to your children today. And we shall give you all the praise and all the thanks. In Jesus' name,